All right, here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cuatro Cuatro Dos. Once again, Christian here. And today we have a very, very special guest, somebody that I have admired from afar, you know, for the little bit that I've seen him around the concourse, around the stadium. I mean, if you guys don't know him by now, if you're a Houston Dynamo fan, then I don't know, you know, where you've been. But we have Victor Araiza. Welcome, Victor. Thank you for jumping on with us today.
Hey, Christian. Yeah, thanks for the kind words. And always a fan of anybody trying to get some coverage out there of the Dynamo, and obviously a fan of your work as well.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot. but yeah, man, I just wanted to get you on the show, not only to talk about Dynamo stuff and, you know, how we're going to look at the team and a bunch of stuff like that, you know, soccer-wise, but I wanted to, you know, get to know you a little bit, you know, what, you know, who is Victor, you know, outside maybe, or how do you came to be the Victor that you are now? And maybe, you know, for people that see you or follow you for, you know, for your work, maybe they can kind of get to know you a little bit more. So if you don't mind, I mean, were you born in Mexico? Or were you born here in the U.S.? And how did you end up in Houston?
Houston, born and bred since 1990. So there you go. Both my parents are from Mexico, so obviously I have the Mexican blood and the tradition of watching the Mexican national team through the World Cup, and then obviously falling in love with the U.S. as well, because it's, you know, it's the country where I was born and also a team that I follow. You know, that's where the soccer love comes from. And then, you know, sports wise, obviously, like anybody else in Houston, interested in all the Houston teams when. I actually didn't really have a Liga MX team. I mean, I guess to my mom, I should naturally support Chivas, but I mean, I just kind of neutral as far as that sense. I think I lean more to my dad. So, you know, any team that San Luis had in the first division, that's where I would lean to also. I guess more I follow the underdog, really, because I didn't, you know, it's a whole thing. I mean, anybody who follows the Mexican League knows the Chivas. I mean, it's a whole mess. So, but I mean, that's where it starts. In 06, we had our own soccer team here in Houston. So I obviously started following them. My career kind of led me into sports journalism. So I just, you know, about 10 years ago, I think. Pretty much, I think like 10 years ago, I started in TV production in the Dynamo Spanish broadcast when they were on Azteca. Mm-hmm. You know, from there, I kind of just picked up. I started doing some writing gigs. And eventually I also, you know, got to work with Glenn Davis, who we all know, and here in Houston is, I mean, the guy to go to for soccer and Dynamo Talk. So I got to shadow him for a couple of years, got to work with him also during the Dynamo TV broadcast that he does in English, some of the Spanish broadcasts as well with Daniel Mejia and Lester when they were doing TV for a little bit. So I got to have a little taste of everything. And I think, well, obviously now I'm more focused on writing for the Striker Texas, and just doing written and digital coverage for them these days.
I mean, you basically told your whole story there, huh? In a compressed form, yeah. but tell me,
I'll save you some time.
I know, right? But, tell me, when did you like decide, or like, what made you want to get into like journalism, or how did you get into the whole like TV stuff? And then you were like, well, you know what, maybe I should go this route, maybe I should cover like soccer or sports in general.
Yeah, well, I think it just picked up in the sports journalism thing. I think it just picked up in high school. I took a, you know, like a newspaper class, so I started kind of doing like writing sports for just the high school paper. Then once I got to university, it's something I just started doing as a, I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say a hobby. When I was at U of H, I joined the Daily Cougar. I bounced around a little bit. So when I went to St. Jack, I did the, what is it called? San Jacinto Times. And then actually, reason I also kind of transferred to St. Jack, I saw Fred Fowler was doing class there. Fred, who does the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 on Drive Time. So I thought that'd be a cool, neat thing to do. I mean, I obviously knew his story. He was a former editor at the Chronicle, sports editor at the Chronicle. So I kind of wanted to take his class, learn from somebody that I admired in business. And then So that's another person I got, you know, mentor of mine that I got to learn from. During that time, I actually used to be a Dynamo season ticket holder in the Robertson days. When I was at U of H, obviously I got to cross paths with some of the players right in the parking lot as they were training. Got to go to some of the games. Started with like, you know, like a 5-game plan, and then I just kind of went into, you know, whatever spare change I had, kind of bought season tickets, and then the last season in Robertson, that's where I kind of started my media career. So then afterwards from that, I just started doing media passes and covering the team full on from a media standpoint. But the way I got into it was one of my best friends, or I said my best friend, is a guy by the name of Dorian Valenzuela, who, funny story, now works at the club, right, doing digital marketing for the Houston Dynamo. He's the one that, you know, his lifelong dream was to be on this side of things, to be a sports reporter, be like a sports narrator, anchor. You know, he grew up in Mexico, Guadalajara, so he's the one who had the idea to just kind of, you know, go up to the Azteca tent at Dynamo, ask them, hey, you know, do you have anything, any opportunities open? We both sent our resumes in, and then you know, I went in first, and he came, you know, he came in right after, and then we both just started there, and that's kind of where it took off. We just it's a cool part because as we were in college, you know, we got to go to the trainings, right? Like get interviews with Kinnear, you know, some of the guys, you know, we have you, Ueno, Chang, you know, Brad Davis, and you know, kind of just cover the game and start assembling the pregame show throughout the week. And I mean, I guess, you know, then in Pedro, I mean, you know this, you start to get hooked, right? You start seeing the work that kind of goes into it, and then that there's a lack of coverage, and you learn some of these stories. And I think the closest thing to this now, to what that Dynamo team was, is the Dash, right? I mean, kind of same thing, right? You have a niche group of fans, I think, but you know, but once people start learning those stories, they start becoming fans, and it just starts growing from there, which is why I always stress, I mean, that's the importance of media, right? To get those stories out there.
Man, that's a crazy story. Like, well, crazy in the fact that you knew what you wanted to do, like, since like high school, you know? A lot of people in high school, they're like, oh, confused.
Well, I guess no, I guess I'm like I said, Doran's the one that wanted to do this. He's the one that kind of led me into it. I started doing it in high school, but I actually kind of wanted to go into business. And then it just, you know, I mean, I just didn't, you know, started struggling in college. I guess I wasn't really interested in those classes, and then my GPA suffered actually. Then I started moving into journalism at U of H, and that's kind of where I started like fixing my GPA, and taking some journalism class. Like I told you, writing for a Daily Cougar, going to some of the games, like the UH, like the women's basketball games, covering golf. What else, like I write about tennis, I think.
He did
And like I
everything.
said, that yeah, like I said, so I, and so that's where it kind of just started taking off. And then once we did the TV stuff, then it was more video editing and stuff like that. And like I told you, I mean, I at the same time, I kind of started liking sports radio in general, because I mean, I started listening to 97.5. You know, of course, before that, I would listen to Glenn show whenever he was at the stadium doing the post game show, and just see that kind of side of it. And I've always, and again, I think I just kind of see where when you're a fan of the team, and you want to, you know, you ask yourself, you know, why aren't more stories getting told? Why aren't these guys getting more coverage? And then, you know, you know, you just kind of see like, oh, well, you know, here's a way where maybe I can kind of help push that a little bit. And I've been able to, you know, be at trainings and get to do this, you know, throughout the years. And so I think I've been lucky in that sense. I give my parents a lot of a lot of the credit, because, you know, I've been able to help them at their shop. They have a car dealership, a used car dealership. So it's a small business, but you know, it's basically what keeps me afloat, or what's kept me afloat all these years, right? Not, you know, doing freelance gigs and being able to kind of be flexible with work, you know, with work time, and trying to, like, you know, go to trainings and that sort of thing. And I think that's, like I said, to me, when I think about my career, I always put my parents first. I mean, that's what allowed me to do this, and you know, I get to do what I like because of them.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's cool that you know you kind of you're your love for like the sport comes from like your parents, you know, like most of us usually. And they're like
Right.
the main ones supporting you to like keep going your career. Even, you know, at this age, you know, there, you know, some people will be like, hey, come on, get your shit together, basically. But I
Yeah.
mean,
Well, I've had plenty
parents,
of those talks too.
right? Yeah,
Yeah.
no, I imagine, right? But
Yeah.
going into more into like your like career and stuff that you get to do for your job, for, you know, your fun job, you know, as some people would see it, because honestly, I, you know, me going into the stadium, you know, last year was my first year like kind of doing this, you know, kind of not full time, but, you know, as a more of a
Right.
online, you know, hobby, I guess you can say it. And this was fun because, you know, me as a soccer fan, as a Dynamo fan as well, you know, you kind of see like the other side of the curtain in a way, you know, and
Right.
it's pretty cool seeing it from the inside, you know, also from the outside, you know. But can you tell me like what are some of like the best places your job has taken you? Like what are some of like the good memories that you have created so far? Because I've seen that you have like traveled and like, you know, gone to other stadiums and stuff like that. Can you name like
Right.
a few stories?
Yeah. Well, I think obviously the ones in MLS, the ones I've gotten to go so far, any away game, I think they're all different, but I like all of them, and being able to do the coverage, obviously, going to Dallas and doing a Texas Derby, I enjoy that. Kansas City, I got to go a couple for the first time a couple years ago. I think it was 2019, and I mean, I getting to see some of these stadiums like theirs, and seeing just how far and ahead their vision is, right? Going to Portland and Seattle for the playoff games, and personally for me, I take pride in it to be able to say that I was the only media guy from Houston to cover the team for those two games and to travel, right? To say that I went to cover them in their Champions League games, right? In Guatemala and Monterrey. And then I've gotten to the other cool stuff. I got to go to Jamaica for CONCACAF for the Gold Cup in 2019,
Right.
and to LAFC Stadium for the Gold Cup as well. Which then I liked the stadium. I wanted to go again. I got to catch one of the LA Derbies, right? The one before Zlatan took off, the one in the playoffs. So I figured, and that's what I'm talking about, man. I just And that, like I said, to me, that's all cool. It's all special. But to be able to get to that point, I think I've obviously had to work at it. But it's not easy because, I mean, even for the people that get paid full time, right? Like I remember some of the TV stations going to Dynamo trainings, and if they take too long, or if it cuts into somewhere else, some other coverage, Texans, Astros, or that kind of thing. They're just like, well, bye, right? Like we can't be waiting around all day, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm saying. Like, well, I've been flexible to be able to kind of like grind it out in that sense, put in the time. And if I had any other job, I wouldn't be able to take these trips, right? I'd probably get fired. Just take up, right? Go midweek to Guatemala or Monterrey. I mean, like I said, so I've been able to do some of these, and hopefully we can get some more here in the future, because I'm sure there's more games ahead.
And what about the other side of the coin? What are some of like the worst maybe experiences that you had, like either traveling or like having to like stay super late or something like that? Like
Yeah, I think there's not a lot that I'd really like put in that category, because I think, I mean, it's always, for the most part, it's fun, right? I think the only one I think I complain about, or I mean, I really, it's whatever, right? I remember going up to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl. I think it was Roma versus Real Madrid, right? And then it's just afterwards, it was just there was no interviews. It's like there's not even like a conference set up. It's like a mix zone kind of thing. Like Modric trips over this guy, this kid in a wheelchair, and kind of almost walks off without acknowledging the kid until, who was it? I don't remember who, what player it was. I kind of told him, like, come on, dude, like, at least, say hi to the kid or something, right? And just, I mean, that's probably one of the worst coverages, because it's, I mean, it was one of those friendly games that meant nothing, right? Ronaldo didn't even play. There was really no coverage. in our case, I mean, you know, you take some time, you're like, all right, well, let me go see this game. But in reality, that was probably one of the that's probably the only one that I kind of look at. I'm like, again, it's like, yeah. But for the most part, I mean, they've all been great. Like I said, even I think the one I going back to which one's maybe the best one. I mean, I'd go three-way tie. I'm going with MLS because obviously I love the league and I love to cover it between Portland, Seattle, and Kansas City because I like to see the special MLS cities, right? The ones that are thriving. Like, what is it about them that's great? And you know, you can only get that vibe when you're on the ground, right? Which is you know, the reason why I think, you know, away media covering away games is important, right? Because you get that kind of thing in baseball and basketball and football, right? You get reporters on the ground that you know, bring you to the other side, tell you, you know, in Kansas City's case, right? Like you see a packed stadium, you see, you know, the kind of things they do during games, right? Like, you know, get the crowd involved, the videos for the players, the, you know, how close it is within the city. And then also, you know, you get to run into some of the fans as well, you know, local fans like Dynamo fans that travel, you know, get their stories. Some of them, you find out that, you know, they don't live in, you know, they don't live in Houston, for example, the ones in Seattle or the, you know, probably somebody in Seattle that's, you know, going to the game, still loves the team, that kind of thing. And I mean, I think those stories are kind of what the kind of content that nobody else gets. And hopefully some of the content that that we can bring this year, maybe with sure. Striker Texas.
Yeah. So jumping into the Striker Texas, tell me a little bit more about that experience, you know, going like, you know, all the hard work you put in and now like the Striker Texas comes out and it seems to be like one of the biggest things that probably has happened soccer wise here in the state, if not in the country, when it comes to covering soccer. So what tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping it takes off and it's here to stay. Right. I always said all credit goes to the investors of this project, Rene Van de Zandt, who's out in LA, you know, actually has a ticket to LAFC. You know, he's the big investor behind this. And obviously Roberto Silva, who's in Austin, who was part of the Austin Bowl there for a little bit, but he's from Rene's from the Netherlands. So obviously he loves soccer from that sense. Roberto's over here from Brazil. He's doing some marketing for some of the Brazilian teams down there. And they're just two guys that want to invest and make this project happen. And the big one I kind of go to as well is, you know, with the arrival of Austin FC, with the attention that has come from Austin FC, you know, Glenn said it on the show, you hope that it's the tide that rise, hopefully it gives a rise to all ships, right? So I think, you know, with the arrival of Austin, there's obviously a part of that coverage is to go for Austin FC, but then, you know, they want to expand it to cover all of Texas. And, you know, they looked for somebody in Houston. They picked me, they looked for somebody in Dallas, they picked John. And I think, you know, together with Chris, we make a great team. And like I said, hopefully we can, give them the coverage, to back their investment, to hopefully keep this going. And hopefully, the people that follow the game, you know, don't see it as a heavy cost, right? Like they see it as a, you know, they want coverage for the team. You know, it's worth the price of subscription, and hopefully we can give them also the content that they want to see. And like I said, I'll really keep this thing going, because I think there's a lot of good stuff that'll come with time as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. And tell me, can you give like more details into the Striker? Like how much is it, the monthly fee and stuff like that? Because I've seen you guys, like y'all had a conference not too long ago, a few weeks back, that you had like a, you know, different like styles or like different right. topics, covering different topics, which, I mean, I jumped on like two or three of them. And, you know, me as a regular dude, you know, that right. tries to follow soccer as much as I can, they were very informative, like from like, you know, it was, I think one of them was like marketing for like the right. clubs and stuff like that. And even from like women's soccer and stuff like that. And it was just really cool. And for you guys to do stuff like that for free, you know, like it was just.
Yeah. Well, that's all, like I said, all credit to Roberto. He's the one that has the experience putting events together, and he wanted to put this soccer summit together, and like I said, maybe post COVID, hopefully it expands into, I don't know how big it can get. I don't know if it can be like the South by Southwest of soccer, of Texas soccer,
Could be.
or a convention, something like that. But I think that's the vision, right? And we were, like I said, luckily we were able to get guests from all over the place, from all levels, to make these conferences happen. And some of them we probably have to switch people around. But I mean, I think overall, for the first year, and for a project that's starting out, it came away good. So, hopefully every year it just kind of evolves from there. I think the price, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it with me, but I think the price is somewhere, I don't know, maybe about $6 a month, or maybe a little less than that. I have a discount code for like 20%. Anybody who wants to DM me, I can give you that code. I can't release publicly, but I can share it with friends and that kind of thing. So I mean, anybody that want kind of is on the fence of subscribing, just friends of Cuatro Cuatro Dos, right? Just
Thank
send me a message, and we can hook you up that way. But I,
you.
overall, I think there's a the biggest thing is that there's a free trial, right, for like 30 days.
Yeah.
Just want to try it out, especially now that the season's about to start. It's you get to see it for 30 days, get to see it for the first month of the season, see how you like it, and see if you want to stick around.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw the, a lot of people like covering like high school games and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you want to get, embedded into the game, into like, the city or even the state, I mean, I couldn't say any. I mean, I listen to you guys' podcasts every week and stuff like that. So whenever you guys jump on, I'm usually on there. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of work, but I know it's good work. Like knowing, the work that you do and getting to know the other guys, I know, good stuff is gonna come out of there. So if anybody's watching, listening, go check out the Striker Texas for sure. And before we get to the Dynamo stuff, talk just a little bit about the Dynamo side of stuff. Can you give some advice to maybe like some aspiring journalists? That last my last episode or two episodes back, I had him too, Riley James, that he's an aspiring,
All
journalist.
right.
What kind of advice could you give, to somebody like him or somebody that, is watching this and they're like, I really like sports or soccer in general and I want to do this for a career. You kind of been through it all almost and right now you're, at a good place.
Be ready to put in maybe a lot of years of work, because for some people it pays off right away. For some people it takes a little longer. Like I think for me, and especially because I was maybe stubborn, that I wanted to do soccer no matter what. That's been part of it, and the landscape for covering soccer in this country, maybe it's still a long way to go, right? But I would say, be ready to put in the time, most of all. But put in the work. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, even if it's if writing's your thing, right? At least a couple of articles a month. I mean, if you want to, if videos are your thing, I mean, there's obviously, especially with Dynamo, right, there's obviously space there. There's a lot of unconquered territory still. I mean, even like for us, that's I guess that's kind of what the potential that we see. There's a lot of unconquered territory, and especially when you look at coverage of the other teams, right? Things that can still be done. Features, or like I said, in podcast form, or video. But overall, I mean, just don't be afraid to try things, and seek out help if you want it. Because for a lot of times I think people get shy, right? Like they just see like, oh man, this guy. I mean, but most of the media people, I think, are pretty open, right? Like, I mean, like Glenn, for example, and if you want to do someone local, maybe Lester, Adabi Nuno, guys like that. I think, you shoot them an email, or ask them for advice, or what have you. And I think most of these guys are open, where they'll share advice with you. They'll steer you in the right direction. They'll give you or lend you a couple minutes of your time, and of their time. I mean, give you advice here every now and then, right? Critique your stuff, or share it out there. And then the other one, it's also the same thing with the clubs, right? I mean, I think, especially in MLS, they know they need the coverage. I think they first of all, they should, but I think they all, they are open to helping you, you know, as long as you want to do coverage the right way, right? Like, you're not trying to, you're trying to do ethical journalism, right? I mean, yeah. You know, lend you photos, you know, B-roll footage, like for videos, right? You know, set you up with interviews. I mean, even if it's, you know, even if it's somebody, you know, who's not high profile star, right? Start from somewhere. But I think the avenue is there to make it happen if you want to make it happen. Like I said, I think a lot of times we close our own doors in our minds, right? Because we think, oh man, like, it's, you know, you got to be this good to make it. I mean, I think if you want it, I think it's pretty much there.
Good advice, man. Good advice. I will take it on for myself too. So thank you for that. Yeah, let's talk a little bit, you know, before we let you go, a little bit about the Dynamo. What are your expectations as a fan/coverage of the Dynamo? Do you, how far, what are your, like, if you were to say best case scenario, and I mean, worst case scenario, I don't think we can get any worse than what we did, right?
Yeah, I think that's, what do you that think pretty is, much covers that.
Yeah, and then what, I mean, we're at the bottom. What's the light at the end of the tunnel, in your opinion?
I think you know, maybe get one of the lower end spots in the Western Conference, playoff spots. I mean, I think that's the expectation and the realistic expectation. Get into the playoffs. I mean, whether it's, you know, with a couple weeks to spare, whether it's, you know, on the second to last week, because we know they don't have decision day this year. But I think, you know, one of the bottom half of the Western Conference, one of those spots. Get into the playoffs and then, you know, just hope to make a run. I don't, you know, without getting a big star in midfield, right? I think that's probably the key, especially these days in MLS, right? I mean, you just saw Columbus get there with Lucas Larrayan, right? You see Seattle with Lodeiro, you see Minnesota got Reynoso. I mean, without a guy like that, it's hard to say they're going to, you know, go far and win anything. I think best case scenario is you get something like 2017. Where you make the playoffs and then you catch a couple lucky breaks, because that's what happened in 2017, right? They, you know, they caught a break against, you know, they hosted Kansas City at home, so they caught a break and that they got to host, right? They got a guy, you know, they got Vicente Sanchez to you know, get a little bit of that last throw on the tires. And then, you know, they got Portland in the next round where, you know, they had a bunch of injuries. And you know, I think that kind of path's probably what you can hope for, be the best case scenario. And then the worst is obviously pretty much last year, right? Don't make the playoffs, probably last place in the Western Conference. But from there, I mean, I don't know. If you want to keep worst case scenario, they probably just, right, get rid of another 10 guys and bring another 10 guys in and start the whole process over, because it seems to be what it is every year.
Yeah. Do you see Quinteros as our Reynoso, our Salarayan, our Valeria?
Well, he might have to be. I mean, I guess we'll see if they move him to that 10 finally.
It's tough.
You know, if he doesn't have to do the work, if he has guys to back him defensively, which, I mean, it looks like that's the idea, right? Where it's just, you know, they brought in guys like Joe Corona, they brought in guys like Derek Jones to try to help, you know, in defensive midfield. They obviously got Seren, who I think is you know, has the confidence in the coach. So I think as long as they're able to do that, and then, you know, maybe Darwin can play, you know, pretty much at his own pace up top, and or whether he comes off the bench and takes, you know, advantage of other guys, right, you know, with that are tired. But I think the thing with Quintero is, you know, you have a solid player, right? You can't expect him to be what he was at Santos or America, because he doesn't have that speed or that, just he's older. But he's a solid player. He's you know what you can count on. And at the very least, he's one of the guys that's going to show up. So as long as you're able to support him, the rest of the guys do their job. That, yeah, maybe they will. And again, like I mentioned this, I think, in another podcast about it, maybe last year, the poor, might have been last year, actually, with the Pio, if I'm not mistaken. You know, once you get into the playoffs and – maybe for, you know, a couple games, right? Three straight games, you get the old Quintero. Maybe that's what happens, right? But I mean, that's, you got to get there first. And I think I wouldn't bank on it, Quintero being that guy. that's where Memo has to step up, or that's where somebody else on the team has to step up. You know, that's where you know, these signings like you know, Pico and Ruti look good. You know, what's it going to be like in the regular season? Is Bahamich, you know, what's his potential? Because, you know, he's kind of an unknown.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, I think they might have to try to make it work with Quintero, because, I mean, with the budget that they have, that looks like to be the only option right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that, you know, it's 2021 and we're still battling with budgets, you know, but it is what it is, right? Well, it's,
yeah. Well, that's the Dynamo way.
Yeah, it's Houston. Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of no que no lo que nos tocó de la edad de cartas. But
yeah,
two more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. You that you've been able to watch most of the games in the preseason from a zero to a solid range. How do you see the team, like from a 1 to 10? How solid do you think they look for next Friday, because we're already there?
Yeah. I'll go with a 6, best case of 7, maybe. I mean, I think and I say for next week because they're playing at home, right? So I think they should win that game. I think that should be the expectation. And then it kind of gets, you know, you don't want to think about the teams after that, but you get stuff from there, right? Portland, I think LAFC, FC Dallas. So, but ultimately, I mean, the formula is if you win most of your home games in MLS, hopefully, and it looks like Tab could be the coach to change this, where they get better road results, at least enough to, again, get some points on the road and make the playoffs. And I think that's pretty much all it takes. It's not hard in MLS to make the playoffs. Only a few teams get left out. So they just got to be better than you know, maybe a team like San Jose or Colorado Rapids or, you know, Vancouver Whitecaps. All they got to do is be better than those kind of teams, and they're in.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
obviously that's easier said than done.
Yeah, that's for sure. And last one, who are you looking forward to like seeing? Who do you, you know, who's in your, like, in your eyesight that you're like, man, this player, you know, this player is kind of intriguing. Like, for example, for me, Tyler Pasher. I don't know why, but since we got him, you know, I just think, you know, having a USL guy, you know, coming to the MLS, I just think it gives them pressure to like show up. But also, right, you know, it just kind of, it's a good pressure because, you know, he's here to like, you know, to say, you know, I'm at the same level as you guys and I'm going to give it my all. And obviously I saw last game that we played against OKC Energy, and he, you know, he looked decent, you know, he can move the ball on his feet. So that kind of, you know, got my hopes up a little bit more, but hopefully he gets some time. But what about you? Do you have any players that you're like, maybe this guy, maybe that guy?
Yeah, Pasha's a good one to follow. And I think he'll, he's obviously going to put in, he looks like he's hungry. He's obviously going to put in the work. And I mean, we're just going to see if he's a USL championship player, if he's an MLS player, right? I think for me, the guys I'm looking to follow is Bahamic, obviously, because the investment is there. Is he that good, right? And I think he's the one wild card on this team where, you know, if he is that good, maybe he can get this team over the hump, right? And see how he shows up. Derek Jones, because he seems like he's going to be a really good addition in midfield. But obviously, like I said, I mean, we won't find out until the season finally starts and it's real competition. And then, you know, obviously Tim Parker is a good addition too. He looks the part. He looks to be the leader in defense. Who's going to be next to him is a big question mark. And is he going to be able to, you know, pull a defense on his own, right? I mean, in New York, in Red Bulls, I mean, he obviously had Aaron Long next to him, which is a big help. Now he's going to, you know, have to be the guy leading the defense. And here, can he do that? Can he be that kind of leader? And, you know, who's going to take that spot from Minor Figueroa?
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least from the preseason, it looks like it could be Sam Junko, which I don't think anybody was crazy expecting.
No, not at all.
So that might be a guy to follow as well.
Yeah. Cool, man. Hey, once again, everybody, if you're listening, watching, don't forget to go follow Victor Araiza everywhere. Striker Texas, he's our guy. You know, he covers the Dynamo for Texas, for the world, basically, in general. So, you know, show him support, show him love. Thank you again, man, for jumping on this late at night. I know it's kind of late, but you know, thank you for your time. Thank you for chatting. Thank you for the advice. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem, Christian. Anytime.
All right, man. We'll see you around at VVVA, man. We'll have a good one.
Sure thing.
Let me stop.